Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a show dedicated to giving you the most relevant news as we see it from the last 24 hours. The idea behind this show is to make it concise, quick information that you're able to go out and research for yourself. So while the majority of mainstream media yesterday and today is consumed with either defending or disputing claims within a new book, why don't we get into what's really going on? So to begin today, I'd like to talk about a very interesting story about a new technology. The article comes out of WakingTimes.com. And this is another one. We talked yesterday about some really interestingly new groundbreaking technology, the new self-forming robots that were being used to deliver payloads. There's a lot of this interesting stuff coming out now that I personally think was probably been in use and been around for much longer than we'd like to believe. But the title is, New Tech Uses Wi-Fi Blasts to Read a Subject's Concealed Emotions from a Distance. Now, this is essentially researchers from MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory that are using regular Wi-Fi signals that they bounce off a person to track their heart rates and reveal other information about the body and apparently determine emotion. This is just something that is getting into the next level of information and next level of technology that is, to me, very unnerving. And it kind of goes to a whole nother level of what we've talked about yesterday and a few other days is intent behind these things. I honestly don't see how this kind of a technology can be used for a positive thing other than some kind of a criminal science and investigatory idea. But really, with what we understand of how the government is moving today, this, like we said yesterday, the very authoritarian move we're seeing, this strikes me as something very invasive and something that is going to be used in a very invasive and unnatural way to probably be installed around the world to actually track you and watch you while you're walking around in places like Las Vegas and anywhere, as well as through your computer, I would imagine. But understanding how abundant and how kind of universal Wi-Fi is today, it's everywhere, especially if you're living in some kind of an apartment complex where there's just 1,000 Wi-Fi signals all around your area. And when being surrounded by so many different signals and other types of technology, we really need to begin to understand the long-term detrimental effects of things like this. I mean, you can get into the topic of smart meters and in any number of things that are just now starting to gain mainstream attention. We have to realize how bad these things truly are for us. And just having your phone in your pocket all day long, these things have a really long-term effect on your body. And these are some of the things that the article itself was beginning to ask, that wondering if this is going to be used in conjunction with CCTV and surveillance in general to actually get into a whole brave new world, you know, 1984 Orwellian concept of actually tracking our emotions and being able to read how we feel without us admitting to it. It's just very unnerving. So this is a story we should be keeping track of and really following where this leads to. The next story I'd like to talk about is one that I think it's coming out of Zero Hedge, and it's a story that it's a really quick one to brush over here, but it's to me, it sums up, like the article says, exactly where our military mind is in this country. And the title is Secretary of Defense Mathis Sums Up America in 7 Short Words. And he's been known for going off on some fairly unnerving, giving some pretty unnerving statements and quotes that just really show you an insight into the kind of person he is and the kind of mentality there is right now behind our military. And the quote, basically the question was, what was his biggest military concern for 2018? And his response was, I don't have concerns. I create concerns. Now, you could argue that this is simply him trying to sound impressive or trying to instill fear into his enemies. But when taking into consideration the other things that he said, some other lines he's had is, it's quite fun to shoot them, you know? It's a hell of a hoot. It's fun to shoot some people. Now, that one speaks for itself. The other ones are, there are some assholes in the world that just need to be shot. And then the last one is, be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. Now, these aren't jokes. These are literally quotes that Mathis has put out there himself. Now, really, the last one, really understanding the I don't have concerns, I create them. It really plays into what we're seeing today with the idea of Iran and the other military regimes that we've seen, the regime change aspects we've seen across the world from the United States government, and understanding that there are no concerns for these people. They're going out and creating the kind of concerns that we're seeing around the world. Now, many would argue that's not what he meant by that, but I would say that's kind of a Freudian slip idea that's kind of what was behind that. Now, this kind of information is something we need to start paying attention to, understanding the intentions behind the things that we're doing across the world, and stop being distracted by what's going on internally, because that's really the plan. Next, in some more geopolitical news, China is building its second foreign military base in Pakistan amid U.S. diplomatic scandal. Now, this isn't necessarily groundbreaking new news. We know that there's a constantly growing battle amongst the rising military superpowers in the world to control countries that have more relevance to what they're trying to accomplish. But seeing this happen and understanding what we talked about yesterday with Pakistan dropping the dollar, kind of joining the Shanghai bloc and moving away from the petrodollar, it's very interesting to see this kind of shift in power. We've talked about this a lot in recent weeks and recent months, the idea of the kind of diminishing world power of the United States government and the Western powers in general. But seeing this happen, it is a sign of what's to come. And seeing that the alignment between these other countries is going to see a very quickly shifting landscape of the military world in general, specifically with the United States government. So this is something to keep track of and understand that really what the United States government is trying to accomplish around the world is in a way pushing these things into happening. So you could ask the question whether or not that's part of the plan. That's a whole deeper level to get into, but it does kind of seem that there's almost an outright effort to push people away and to change things, which ties into the whole New World Order aspect. But, you know, it really is something just to keep your eye on. So next, in some news related directly to Trump and his ambitions and promises during his campaign, the White House is now asking for $18 billion to build a 700-mile wall along the border. Now, for a lot of people, this is going to be a heralded, fantastic thing. Oh, finally, he's coming to fruition with his plan. He wants to build the wall, something he promised. That's one of the things that, in my opinion, was one of the aspects that really got him elected, is just, you know, really kind of stoking that fire. And really, it all plays back to the divide, when in reality, we should be looking at ourselves more as world citizens as opposed to Americans. As you know, it's not wrong to have pride in your country, but to disregard other countries and pretend like they don't have the same rights we do or the human rights we do is kind of what we've been seeing a lot in recent years. But the idea of putting $18 billion towards something like this, when in reality, we're wildly in debt to the rest of the world, and that kind of money could be used for so many grander things, specifically in this country, to talk about America first. I mean, whether you're talking about hunger problems or homelessness problems, these are things that could be solved with that kind of money. And yet we're trying to build a wall. It's very reminiscent of times past, where we're talking about isolating ourselves from the rest of the world as opposed to trying to build peace and work together. It really, to me, that's what this all sums up, is that, you know, the America First idea is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's getting further than that. American exceptionalism and nationalism and extreme ideas of not caring about anyone else but ourselves. And that's a very dangerous step. So I have doubts whether this is even going to happen, to get this money involved. And it just seems like maybe a ploy to make people happy that he's going to try to follow through. I ultimately don't think it's going to come to pass. That's my prediction, but we'll have to watch and see. And finally, the last story from yesterday is one that I think is very important to read, coming from Eva Bartlett. It's amazingly well-researched, and as her work always is, it is fantastic. There's so much information in this article that you have to read it more than once, and this is only part one, as I understand it. The title is How the Mainstream Media Whitewashed Al-Qaeda and the White Helmets in Syria. Now, this is a topic we've discussed in length more than once and more than one show, and it really dives into the misrepresentation of the mainstream media, specifically The Guardian, in this article, and how there's a propagandized idea that's being pushed out about the White Helmets and Al-Qaeda in general, trying to paint them as something that they're not. Most likely, in my opinion, and verifiably most likely, because of the connections to the United States government and the Western powers. White Helmets in and of themselves, to kind of quickly brush over some background here, are an organization that was created by British intelligence that was stoked by Western powers, funded by Western powers, and has direct connections to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other militant groups, which is the exact kind of entity that these Western powers are pretending to fight. And when you really dive into it and find out some of the, specifically due to some of the research of people like Vanessa Beely and Eva Bartlett, and on the grounds in Syria, you find that the White Helmets are not what they say they are. And this is directly from Syrians, local Syrians that understand the manipulation going on and realize that the White Helmets are essentially a terrorist organization that is being presented as something they're not, where they have connections to all of these different groups. They've been caught, you know, taking part in some of these actions. The story itself dives into the idea of an article The Guardian put out. Reading directly from the article itself, it says, on December 18th, 2017, The Guardian issued a shoddily penned hatchet piece against British journalists Vanessa Beely, Patrick Henningsen, and his independent website, 21st Century Wire, Australian professor and author Tim Henderson, and Emma Bartlett herself. And she notes that many insightful writers have since deconstructed the lies and omissions of the article. But the article goes into so much information and really breaks down not only why the Guardian article was a ridiculous hit piece, but that the information that they're trying to promote is outright propaganda and lies. And there's information to prove that if you're really willing to look at it and understand that there's such a greater agenda at play here, larger than the White Helmets themselves, but really geopolitically oriented, and that is out to deceive you at the end of the day. So I highly recommend a read on this article. As always, all of this will be in the show notes to check out. So moving on to today, there's the two articles so far that I think are the most important. So starting off is one from geopoliticsalert.com. It says, North South Korea to hold talks next week. Trump takes credit. Now, that article is kind of self-explanatory, and it shouldn't be much of a shock. It's the same kind of way we saw Donald Trump and the United States government try to take credit for the defeat of ISIS and what's happening in Syria, when in reality, everything they've done to date has been in the assistance of ISIS and going in the opposite direction. And the only movements forward we've seen have been when they've pulled away and allowed the other countries to carry out positive effects. But so what we're seeing now is in relation to North Korea is that there are some talks happening. There was a discussion about allowing, kind of holding off any military drills during the Olympics. And I mean, the reality behind this story is to understand that North Korea has been actively trying to pull back and talk. They've offered to denuclearize more than once. If the only thing they asked for is if the United States government and Western powers would cease their military operations within immediate proximity to their country. And you have to understand that these military drills are outright provocations, surrounding North Korea, pretending to assassinate the leader, pretending to bomb them. And then they claim, oh, these are just routine drills, when it's clear provocations. And then again, this always goes back to the idea that whether talking about Iran, Syria, North Korea, none of these places should be looked at as amazing bastions of freedom and human rights. But the point is that they're being misrepresented, and they're a sovereign nation and deserve the rights as anybody else does. But yet they're being painted as something they're not to, again, carry out these geopolitical goals of the Western powers. So now what we're seeing is that South Korea and North Korea have agreed to hold talks. You know, usually these talks tend to orient around the idea of diffusing these problems and moving into an area of peace and really reconciliation. But that's not what the United States government wants here. And clearly Trump's going to try to take credit for what's happening, but I guarantee you we're going to see more provocations, more drills, routine drills, that then cause North Korea to lash out, and then that becomes a reason in and of itself to continue to do what they're doing. So this is a very frustrating story, but I guarantee we're going to see more come of this. But this is one to acutely pay attention to. And I always try to note on the fact that I have a friend that lives in South Korea that openly talks about the fact that the way that it's being painted in the Western media is a joke to them. They openly laugh about the ridiculousness of Donald Trump and as it pertains to North Korea and the rhetoric that they were spewing. And it's not what we're seeing in Western media, I should say. So it's always wise to dig around and find as many sources as you can from other places outside of Western media and make up, you know, come to your own conclusions. Always the case. So the final story of the day comes out of the freethoughtproject.com. The title is Session Wages War on Natural Weed as he grants maker of fentanyl a monopoly on synthetic THC. Now, this is a story we touched on in the last few days, understanding what Jeff Sessions is trying to do, trying to roll back the progress the world, the country has made in regard to cannabis and understanding the lies built around it and where they come from. And he's trying to roll back, kind of defy states' rights and allow federal prosecutors to prosecute local people for small amounts of weed, which is just absurd, especially with what we know about it today. But this is an interesting case when you understand that despite the war on cannabis, they are allowing these pharmaceutical companies to try to synthetically create the same thing they claim has no medical properties. It's absurd. I mean, this entire story is wrapped up in wild hypocrisy and contradiction. But I think most people are beginning to see that, which is hopeful. I mean, we've even seen congressmen and governors stand up and speak out about Jeff Sessions and his recent war, you know, intensifying war on cannabis. I mean, he's been open about his desire to do this from the very beginning. But now to see this happen, especially when you're talking about fentanyl and opiates in general, which is something that is directly tied to the United States government, and understanding what that's doing to the country and the world, and allowing them to continue to control this market is very dangerous. And it's just so absurd. I mean, it's a good place to end in understanding the absurd hypocrisy of most of what we're seeing today, specifically in the United States government, but government in general, all around the world. The idea of authority in and of itself is a myth, in my opinion. So it's something that we all need to keep our eye on and continue to research. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out The Last American Vagabond or any number of the important independent sites that we have included in the show notes. Make sure you question everything and always come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.